a very good evening to you. Welcome along once again to Sweet and Swing here on Max Radio. My name's Howard Kane, not Barry White, and it's a pleasure, as always, to have your company on a Friday night. This evening, we'll be doing a bit of dancing at the Palais, some Art Tatum, more from Cole Porter, the Women of Jazz, and an intriguing three-dimensional sound. More of that later. To start off, let's board that Chattanooga Choo Choo. Chattanooga Choo Choo. I'm sure you recognise it. Not Glenn Miller, though. It was. Any guesses? Joe Loss. Joe Loss and the boys. Dancing at the Palais. Nice little selection, this. Remembering the years of the Hammersmith Palais. I've been there, but not as a dance venue. It's still going, as far as I'm aware. I haven't been for a few years now, but certainly I've seen a few jazz acts there. A big venue over in West London. And was once, perhaps, the most famous dance hall in London, the Hammersmith Palais, or the Hammersmith Palais de Danse, if you want its full grand title. We had a Palais de Danse over here, didn't we? Not Hammersmith, though. And the American jazz group, the original Dixieland Jazz Band, started a nine-month engagement there in November of 1999. Then to replace the American musicians, the management booked the original Lyric Five, featuring Sid and Harry Roy on that. And then a few years later, of course, Harry became leader of of the group, and well-known, played over here as well, Harry Roy, of course, and was soon established as a top-line attraction, headlining shows at the Palladium and enjoying prestigious engagements, as well as a three-year residency at the Mayfair Hotel in London's West End. Basically, a who's who of band leaders played there. If you hadn't played at the Hammersmith Palais, I don't think you were anyone. Lou Prager was there, of course. Joe Loss, as we just heard, played there. And a host of others, Geraldo, Nat Ginella, Harry Leader, all played at the Hammersmith Palais. As for that matter, they're this man, Billy Munn.
No more playing leapfrog, no more kissing in the rain, no more ring of roses, everybody sing.
Sally, Sally Waters, sprinkle in a saucer, rise, Sally, to the only board. Turn to the east, turn to the west, turn to the very boy you know you love the best. Mrs. Waters' daughter, such a sugar touch as fine, but she never, never picks the same boy twice. Sally, Sally, won't you make your mind up, Sally?
Sally Waters, got quite a sort of 50s feel about it, that one, hasn't it? Billy Munn and his orchestra with Tom Henry on the vocals. Don't know much about Tom Henry, actually, and had a quick look in the Book of Words. Nothing on there either, although I'm fairly sure he's an American vocalist going back in the day. But not a man who's featured on the programme that often. You might know all about him, and if you do, I'd love to hear. You might have some favourite tracks. Drop me a line anytime. Howard Kane at manxradio.com, C-A-I-N-E, Howard Kane at manxradio.com. And you could be the biggest Tom Henry fan in the world. I could be missing out on a whole load of music there I've never heard, but certainly not a vocalist who's a regular on Sweet and Swing. Billy Munn has featured a few times, and like I said, certainly had his residency and his time at the Hammersmith Palais back in the day. Must apologise about the old voice this evening. I sound a bit like Barry White, don't I? Yeah, baby. the dreaded lurgy seems to be embedded in my head at the moment, which does make me sound somewhat throatier than normal. So if you're thinking, who on earth's that? Well, it is still me, just sounding slightly below par. So maybe it should be more music and less chat. That's probably the way around it. How about some Art Tatum with a bit of a medley? See what you recognise from this.
Thank you.
Not bad, eh? Not bad. Loving the crackles and pops there away as well from that V-disc. More about that in a moment. Art Tatum, of course. What a technique he had. Incredible player. Maybe a bit florid for some. I don't know. Those amazing runs. How many did he get in that medley, by the way? The little Gershwin-esque medley. So you got the Man I Love, Summertime. Then I've Got Plenty of Nothing. And It Ain't Necessarily So. And I think it ended up back on the Man I Love again there. I think, didn't it, at the end there. Art Tatum, a wonderful player. Blind, of course. Blind from birth, as far as I recall. And an amazing stylist and inspired so many others after him. Came onto the scene when the likes of Earl Hines and Fats Waller were firmly established as the top jazz piano players. And Tatum's style, clearly based on Fats Waller. Also Lee Sims, another player who very florid, but had a lot of those amazing runs and harmonic inventiveness. And Tatum, like all great jazz players, sort of listened to all the other artists, amalgamated a whole load of that stuff, put it into a melting pot, brought his own style into it, and made up his own unique style. Incredibly technically proficient, very difficult to copy, and frankly, he didn't have any imitators, or didn't have any competitors, I wouldn't say. Not many people who could better him because of his technical ability on the piano. Went on to influence the likes of Herman Chittison and Gene Rodgers, and I would say a man we're hearing a bit later on, Oscar Peterson, without a doubt, was more than aware, I would say, more than aware of Art Tatum. As was the likes of Joe Bushkin and Mel Powell and Andre Previn, of course, as a wonderful jazz pianist. He'd have known Art Tatum's work very well. Yes, from a collection just called the V-Discs. The V-Discs, of course, going back to the war, there were 78 RPM 12-inch records issued to the American forces during World War II between 1942 to 1948, and they were sent to PX stations and centres and radio stations for the recreation of all the GIs around the world. Records were a mixture. They had classical and vocals and popular and jazz. Around about 900, apparently, in total, were issued. Many titles, unique to V-discs, as was the one we've just heard. Didn't come out anywhere else. It was just a V-disc. Was then transcribed much later on, of course, and copied onto CD. Probably get it as a download as well, I dare say, these days. Though they are pressed in there, thousands of V-discs themselves have subsequently become extremely rare collector's items. Which is why I think it's important that it's been transferred onto more stable media. No doubt there'll be digital copies. That one, of course, off the old trusty CD, which I hope will probably see me out one way or another. Putting on the Ritz. I was there quite recently.
Have you seen the well-to-do up on Lenox Avenue, on that famous thoroughfare, with their noses in the air, high hats and colored collars, white spats and $15, spending every dime for a wonderful time? If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where Harlem sits, putting on the Ritz? Spangle gowns upon a bevy of high browns from down the levee, all misfits, putting on the Ritz. That's where each and every Lulu Belle goes every Thursday evening with her swell bows. Rubbing elbows, come with me and we'll attend their jubilee and see them spend their last two bits putting on the Ritz. You go where Harlem sits, putting on the Ritz. Tangled gowns upon a bevy of high browns from down the levee, all misfits. And how they're putting on the Ritz. That's where each and every Lulu Belle goes every Thursday evening with her swell bows. Rubbing elbows, come with me and we'll attend their jubilee and see them spend their last two bits just putting on the Ritz.
Thank you.
Artie Shaw and his band with lovely reading there of Stardust. Segwayed off the back of Puttin' on the Ritz. Harry Richman taking the vocals with that one, with Earl Burtnett and his LA Hotel Biltmore Orchestra. That's a snappy little title, isn't it? And his LA Hotel Biltmore, okay, yeah, I see where it's coming from. Harry Richman, another great character, born in Ohio to Russian and Jewish parents, Henry and Katie, started playing at the age of 10 under his own name, his original name, which was Henry Reichman Jr. was his original name. And at 18, he decided to change his name to Harry Richman, by which time he was already a professional entertainer in vaudeville. He claimed, now wait for this, he claimed to be making $25,000 a week in 1931. $25,000. Now, there's a note here which says that is $415,000 as of 2018. Knocking on for $500,000 a week working in vaudeville. Yes. Nice work if you can get it. Now, I don't know whether it was a little bit inflated or not, but it sounds like he did all right. He also owned a very popular nightclub, a speakeasy club, Richmond, which was located very close to Carnegie Hall. It had a large room. It would seat up to 250-odd people. It was designed to look like a patio with fake windows opened out to scenes painted in the windows, and the roof was painted with stars to reflect the spotlight on the performers. Very popular, but then burnt down, unfortunately, in the year of the Great Depression, 1929. Didn't stop his career, though. Worked as a piano accompanist to such stars as Mae West and Nora Bayes. He made his Broadway debut in 1922, starred in several editions of George White's Scandals in the 1920s, and made a feature movie debut in Hollywood in 1930 with the film Puttin' on the Ritz, featuring, of course, the Irving Berlin song of the same title, which we've just heard him sing. A phonograph record hit that year. However, his film career, apparently, so I see, was short-lived due to his somewhat overpowering personality and limited acting skills. Yeah, well, if you're very demanding and rubbish, you're not going to get very far, realistically, are you? I do like that, though. Terrific. And I was saying, I was actually at the Ritz. In, you know, the Ritz, Piccadilly. Only a week or so back. Went for lunch, would you believe? Yes. Very nice it was too. Bit of a special occasion. And a couple of old friends. And lovely, lovely lunch. Beautiful room. You couldn't believe the hustle and bustle around Piccadilly there. And then you go into the Ritz and down the hushed corridors with the thick carpets and past all the people having afternoon tea or morning tea, I don't know. You know, the sandwiches and the multi-layered little cake racks and such like. And at the end, a beautiful restaurant in a gorgeous room. Really lovely, with all the funkies dressed up to the nines. And dinner is, or lunch is served with the domes over the food, which are whisked off in unison, etc., etc. Very nice it was too. Not something you'd necessarily do every day, unless you are like Harry and earn $500,000 a week. But as a special treat from time to time, very nice indeed. jazz too. From our Women in Jazz series, the classic female jazz artists, 1939-1952. Not an easy time to be a female jazz artist around that period. I assume it's a lot easier now, I honestly don't know, but there's so many wonderful female women jazz players around in all sorts of styles. One likes to think it is, and we've had plenty of them featured on Jumping In, by the way, our sister programme, 9 o'clock tomorrow night, here on Manx Radio. If you fancy checking that out with Brother Chris, always good stuff. But yeah, the likes of, I know, Laura Jurd or Maria Schneider, or there are so many. Lucretia Benjamin, a new name coming in. Saxophonist, wonderful player, wonderful. That was Barbara Carroll, though, known as the only female bop pianist along 52nd Street during the late 1940s. Became something of a regular RCA Records recording artist from the 50s, early 50s to mid-50s, 53 to 57 or thereabout. And that one, happily enough, was called Barbara's Carol. You see what she's done there? Yeah, Barbara's Carol. Not very festive, but good fun in any case. Self-written, lovely, as it suggests, gentle melodic work. Well supported there by her hubby, Joe Shulman on bass, and the drummer, Ralph Pollock. You're listening, of course, to Sweet and Swing with myself, Barry White, also known as H, when I've got more of my own voice. Lovely to have you along, as ever. Now, this one jumped off the shelf at me as I was tidying up in the Manx Radio archives. Well, trying to tidy up, wasn't doing much of a job, to be honest with you. The Jazz and Vocal Collection, In the Clarity and Reality of Three-Dimensional Sound. Stereo from mono conversions that are really convincing. Well, I mean, what can I say? 25 classic and rare recordings from 1920 to 1945 at a special price. I think that's why the old maestro must have bought it. He was always a sucker for a bargain. Enabling you to hear the wonders of the revolutionary new listening experience. Well, on the front, it's got a picture of a very young and dapper looking Bing Crosby with an equally, well, the ubiquitous smile and teeth and crisp white shirt and unmistakable face of Louis Armstrong next to him. So I assume they were going to feature, and they do indeed. Pennies from Heaven.
From heaven, don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven? You'll find your fortune falling all over town. Be sure that your umbrella is upside down. Trade them for a package of sunshine and flowers. If you want the things you love, you must have showers. So when you hear it thunder, don't run under a tree. There'll be pennies from heaven for you and me.
Pennies from heaven over. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven? You'll find your fortune falling all over town. Be sure that your umbrella is upside down. Trade them for a package of sunshine and flowers. If you want the things you love, you must have showers. So when you hear it thunder, don't run under a tree. There'll be pennies from heaven for you and me. Yeah. time it rains, it rains pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven? You'll find your fortune falling all over town. Be sure that your umbrella is upside down. Trade them for a package of sunshine and flowers. If you want the thing you love, you must have showers. So when you hear it thunder, don't run under a tree. There'll be pennies from heaven for you and me.
There we are. What did you make of that? Pennies from Heaven, featuring Francis Langford, Louis Armstrong and Bing Crosby. And the liner notes, quite extensive liner notes, written by Clary Henley, former Daily Telegraph jazz columnist, says the three star performers take turns with the same lyrics on this one. Louis wins by a length, with a photo finish for second place, according to Clary. Despite the success of the film, this recording did not enjoy massive sales, and the inclusion of both sides of this compilation will fill a gap in many collections. I'm sure it did, particularly if it was cheap. But yes, A New World of Music, it was titled, with an essay at the beginning explaining more about it. A number of classic recordings are included. They've been carefully selected to offer a cross-section of musical styles presented in a remarkable new three-dimensional sound system, with the emphasis on jazz, but something for the blues enthusiast as well. All have been remastered with full consideration for the music quality before processing through the new three-dimensional mono-to-stereo technique, which has been developed over years of research in the USA by Richard Brody, a man of diverse talents, we are told, who studied as an engineer and spent most of his working life as a musician. His passion for jazz led to a consuming desire to bring life to these great monophonic recordings, originally released on the old shellac 78 RPM discs. I've tried to get as near as possible to how these wonderful players sounded, he says, and to give them some sort of parity with the recordings made today. Well, did he succeed? I will leave that for you to decide. I promised you some Oscar Peterson. I enjoyed that last one, by the way. I thought it was very good. I thought Bing was good as well, by the way. Oscar Peterson, though, yeah, we haven't had Oscar for a while, have we? And here's a longer one, so I can go and gargle with some TCP. You can go and make some cocoa or whiskey, or you can get gargle with TCP as well if you want, but don't feel obliged unless you're suffering with a bit of a bad throat. And this seems appropriate enough for the Isle of Man, isn't it? Kelly's Blues. Thank you. Well, wild, enthusiastic applause there. Quite rightly so, it has to be said, for Oscar Peterson. In his prime, back in 1990. Positively modern for this programme, I know. But I hope you'd agree that it definitely swings. So on that criteria, sweet and swing, it fits in. And nice to have a bit of a mix in any case. And as I said, resting the voice a wee bit today, as it doesn't sound as good as it might, it has to be said. Kelly's Blues, also I thought was very appropriate for an Isle of Man-based jazz programme. I think it would have been Wynton Kelly, I'd imagine he's talking about there, rather than Kelly from the Isle of Man. But who knows? Who knows? He didn't play on the Isle of Man as far as I'm aware. He certainly played in London several times, Oscar. And I was delighted to see him on two occasions. The first with Ray Brown and Herb Ellis, if memory serves correct, at the Albert Hall with the Old Maestro. And the second with my brother and the Old Maestro back in the Albert Hall again years later. I can't remember who the exact band was then. It was his final tour. It was after he'd had a stroke, of course. And sadly, his memory was going as well, so he was calling the same tracks. And the place was packed. Was it a memorable concert from the playing point of view, like that one there? No, probably not. Were people there because they knew this was the last time they'd see him? Yes. So I thought there was a lot of respect in many ways, and people thought, yeah, OK, we're not seeing him at his peak, but this is the last chance to see him playing. And indeed, a year or two later, he did pass away. So great, but I mean, there's dozens and dozens of recordings of him on his farm. Kelly's Blues, like I said, which was live, taken from the Saturday night at the Blue Note. That's the Blue Note Jazz Club in New York, of course. Very good at being there as well. Very nice indeed. From 1990, with Herb Ellis on guitar, Ray Brown on bass. So the two I saw him with, I think, with the addition of a Bobby Durham, keeping things swinging along nicely at the drums. Wonderful player, and as I say, we mentioned earlier on, we started out much earlier with Art Tatum and the V-discs, and hopefully you could see there where Oscar was coming from. Tatum died in 1956, just as Oscar was really coming into his prime in many ways, and yeah, went on for quite some time. We had contemporaries of Bud Powell and Bill Evans as well, but I think Peterson had that power and that two-handed swing and that swagger, which perhaps the others didn't have in the same way. Who knows? I don't know. Great music in any case, as is all the music we feature here on Sweet and Swing. If you've got anything you'd like to hear, which you haven't heard for a long time, as I keep saying, drop me a line, Howard Kane, C-A-I-N-E, at mixradio.com, and I'll see what I can do. Always happy to hear from you, whatever it might be. That about wraps it up for another week. Hopefully, normal service will be resumed on the voice front next week. We live in hope. Keep taking the tablets and gargling with TCP, as they say. And hopefully you can avoid getting any of these winter bugs. We're almost in spring, almost. Keep looking on the bright side of life. The sun is out. The daffodils are up. Things are turning for the better, we hope. Look after yourselves. Same time, same place next week.